The meeting of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is called to order. It is Wednesday, August 12th, 2009, 5:30 p.m. We're meeting in the Community Center, the Sierra Room, at 851 East William Street in Carson City, Nevada. The Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the CAMPO meetings. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify the CAMPO staff in writing, and that's at the Public Works office at 3505 Bud Highway, or email p.pittenger@ci.carson-city.nv.us, or call Mr. Pittenger on the phone at 887-2355 as soon as possible. For more information regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact the MPO staff, again at the previous number. Additionally, the agenda with all supporting material is posted on the CAMPO website at www.carsonareampo.com. If you're here for the RTC meeting, that will follow shortly after the CAMPO meeting is adjourned. I'd like to call roll and determine a quorum. Kathy?
Chairperson Desjardins?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Eswine?
Here.
Member Aldine?
Here.
Member Carpenter?
Here.
Member Kroll? Member Foltz?
Here.
Member Mallory?
Here.
Ex officio Member Taylor?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Okay, we were just asking, you have some info, Andy? Okay. We have minutes before us. The minutes of our July 8, 2009 meeting is before us. Do we have any changes to those minutes? Anyone? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the July 8 minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the minutes of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting dated July 8th, 2009, as presented.
Thank you. Second. Mr. Eswine seconds. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, they're all, and minutes are approved. And one abstention. Mr. Foltz abstains. Okay, now that's... we've gone through item A and item B. Item C, modification of the agenda. Again, the agenda before us is tentative, and CAMPO reserves the right to take items any different order to accomplish business in the most efficient way. Mr. Pittenger, do you have any changes to our agenda?
No, we do not.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item D, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the MPO may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the Metropolitan Planning Organization, but not on items agendized for this meeting. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Does anyone in the audience have any comments, anything they wish to say? Okay, the chair recognizes no comments or interest I shouldn't say no interest, but wish to talk on items that are not agendized. Okay, next is agenda item E, disclosures. Any member of the MPO that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the MPO. Does anyone have any disclosures? Okay, there's none. I'd like to the minutes to reflect that Commissioner Remember, Kroll has arrived, and so
I apologize for being dilatory.
No problem. We're just getting started. Okay. Next is Agenda item F, public meeting items. Again, we have two action items before us and two items for information. Our first action item F1 is action to approve amendment number one to agreement number PR155-08-802 between Campo and NDOT for Federal Transit Administration 5309 funds. Who on staff wishes to address this? Patrick?
I wish to address this, Mr. Chairman. This item is almost identical to the one that was approved last month. Following the meeting, it was found that there was an erroneous reference in the amendment that was approved at last month's meeting. And on the advice of legal counsel, we are bringing back the identical item for your approval, with the exception of that one error being corrected. And just to remind you, this is an extension by 3 months to an agreement to spend Federal Transit Administration 5309 funds. The principal purpose is to allow these funds to remain available for the Old Clear Creek Drive project that Carson City is going to be completing. A portion of that is a transit project, and we won't be done by the current deadline. So this will give us under 3 months to make sure we get the billings done.
Again, that's that area right across or near Costco. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Across the street from Costco by Fuji Park, correct.
Okay. Anyone have any questions or concerns on this particular matter? I think it's a rather minor matter.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to approve amendment number one to agreement number PR155-08-802 between Campo and NDOT for Federal Transit Administration 5309 funds.
Second.
Okay, and I have a second. And before we move on, let me, at this point, I should have asked for whether there's any public comment. Anyone from the public have a comment on this item? Okay, none. Okay, we have a motion before us and a second. All those in favor of approving F1, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, F1 is passed unanimously. Next, on to item F2. F2 is action to enter into a grantees agreement with the Nevada Department of Transportation for federal fiscal year 2008 FTA, or Federal Transit Administration 5309 funds. Again, Patrick?
Yes. This is that same funding source, just a different fiscal year. The Campo is being awarded this portion of the funds. It's actually a statewide grant that is then subdivided among the metropolitan planning organizations and the rural areas of the state. Our share, as you can see, is $97,755. This actually has been available for several months, but we held back agreeing to take these funds after we figured out how these stimulus funds were going to play out. And now that we have gotten that relatively in order to the best we can at this time, we are ready to proceed with these funds. I'll note that they already will be split between Douglas County and Carson City, as per our Campo policy states, and they will be used for vehicle improvements. When you make improvements to vehicles, you can use these funds, and for bus stop improvements in Carson City. I will note, as the chairman pointed out, there is a reference to attachment A, and it's referenced on page 12, the last paragraph, number 29. Staff has erroneously not attached that to here, and that was not distributed. It is a printout of the online application team. That acronym team is the online server that we apply for the money through. So we understand that that was left off, and it was not printed out and attached, and leave it to the Campo board to take action or delay as you wish.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. I did bring this up. I didn't catch it until yesterday that particular attachment was missing. However, I think perhaps in my view, the non-attachment of this document should not really affect our handling of this particular matter, unless someone here wants to actually see that particular online document printed out. I think we should move forward. Anybody wish to delay acting on this matter? Okay.
Just a question.
Yes, Mr. Foltz.
What's the source of the local match?
Well, the source of the local match is the respective city, Carson City, and the county. So Douglas County, approximately, their share is $15,000. So the 20% share of about $3,000 would be derived from those funds. And I should note that this has already been agreed upon with Douglas County Transit staff and is already included in the Transportation Improvement Program. So this is actually the last step we need to make it available.
Okay, do we have any further comments or questions? If not, I'd like to offer a chance for the public to comment on item F2. Anyone in the public have a comment? Okay, and I take it everyone is comfortable moving forward without seeing attachment A? I am, personally. Okay, fine. I'd like to have a motion on this particular item.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the action to enter into a grantees agreement with the Nevada Department of Transportation for federal fiscal year 2008, Federal Transit Administration 5309 funds, fiscal impact, provides access to $97,755 worth of federal money, which equates to an 80% match. The fiscal impact to the participating counties is $24,439, which is 20% of the total.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a second? Okay.
Second that.
I have a second from Mr. Carpenter. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Now on to agenda item F3, and this is an information item. Information regarding a proposed amendment to the Campo 2030 Regional Transportation Plan, that is the RTP. Again, who from staff? Oh, okay, Mr. Dengis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nevada DOT had asked us to, well, they have identified approximately $3.45 million in American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funds to add a third northbound lane on US 395 from approximately Mica Drive in Douglas County up to Old Clear Creek Road in Carson City. And as such, this has to be included in our RTP before it can move forward. So basically, this is an informational item to notify you that we will be amending the TIP, or I'm sorry, the RTP to include this in. And actually, concurrently, we'll be amending the Transportation Improvement Program as well, as it must be listed in there. And we've already initiated a 30-day public comment period. Again, this is a little time sensitive. We will be having a public informational meeting within the 30-day period to provide additional opportunity for the public to comment. And there's a map attached.
Dan, yes. Has that meeting been set up, or is that still underway?
Yeah, it was noticed in the Nevada appeal, and the date is actually the 25th of August. I believe it's a Tuesday.
Okay.
And it will be held here in the community center in the Bonanza Room. And there's also a map attached, just if you're looking for a little more detail, just kind of showing the project limits. And once the comment period is ended, we'll be bringing it back as a formal action item and seeking your approval at that time.
Okay. We're now open for comments or questions from members of CAMPO. Mr. Mallory.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan, I've got a quick question for you. The map doesn't really share anything pertaining to where I'm going with this question, and neither does the description. Is there going to be any work done on the southbound lanes?
It's my understanding it's northbound only.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Carpenter.
Where this project ends is that going to merge into what's is currently a three-lane area where it spreads out into three lanes, so it'll merge into that, so it'll be just a three lanes all the way.
Straight
thank
through.
You.
Yeah.
I didn't hear a.
Yes, yeah.
Mr. Carpenter's question.
Yes. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Dennis?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, and as the summary says, we request that this be amended into the TIP for use of stimulus funds. Recall in last month's meeting, we had a discussion about the STP urbanized area projects, 50,000 up to but less than 200,000. After that meeting, I directed my staff to start looking at projects that would be ready to go and that would actually benefit, give good benefit. This project is, in fact, ready to go. We can have everything in place by, as I required or requested, by the first week of December to meet that obligation by February 15th, and it benefits not only Douglas County but Carson City as well. So that's why we requested this project be added.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Taylor. Other questions or comments? We have none further here from Campo. Let me ask again, anyone in the audience have any comments or questions or anything to add to this particular item while staff is at the microphone? Okay. It looks like if that's the case, this is an info item, and we're through. Hopefully this will sail on through, and we'll have this on our agenda next month, correct?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Okay, next item is our last item. Again, it's an information item. F4, information regarding a proposed amendment to the Campo FY 2009-2012 TIP, that is the Transportation Improvement Program. The previous one, so as to not confuse, was for our regional transportation plan. This particular information item is for the Transportation Improvement Program, the TIP. Again, item F4, staff? Okay, Mr. Pinger.
This, as Mr. Den just mentioned, this is the kind of sister item for the previous one. While the RTP amendment includes only the capacity expansion project for US 395, which has to be in the RTP because it is capacity expansion, new project, the Transportation Improvement Program amendment includes, once again, that same Third Northbound Lane project, but it also includes two other separate stimulus program projects. The first one is that, as was previously mentioned by Mr. Taylor, approximately $3.7 million in stimulus funds were made available to urbanized areas the size of Campo. Because the Nevada Department of Transportation has identified a project of less than $3.7 million, right now there's an estimated $250,000 remaining. It is proposed that a project be added to the Transportation Improvement Program to expend those funds. And the map that you have before you displays the location of roads that will receive microsurfacing treatment with those $250,000 in funds. Those are shown in green. Those are towards the center of the town, north, south, and just west of Carson Street. I believe they're all roads that were formerly owned by the Nevada Department of Transportation and were recently transferred to Carson City. And I will note that, as Mr. Taylor aptly pointed out, the final cost of that Third Northbound Lane project won't be known until they actually open bids and award a project. So that project that is shown in green there may indeed get larger or get slightly smaller depending on how that bid comes in for the Third Northbound Lane, but we want to make sure that we don't leave any of those stimulus funds unspent. So we were happy to work with the Nevada Department of Transportation on that, And the third project that is on the Transportation Improvement Program are the stimulus funds that were made available to rural areas of the state and were channeled by NDOT through NACO and League of Municipalities. And those projects are shown in orange on this map. You can see they include Arrowhead Drive, Koontz, section of Roop Street, College, Fairview Drive, and Edmonds Drive. That project actually is expected to slightly exceed the stimulus funds available, with a difference to be made up by the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission. So once again, three projects proposed to be added: Third Northbound Lane and two micropaving projects with stimulus funds for the city of Carson City. This is an informational item only. It has the same comment period as Mr. Dengis described, and the public meeting will be held coincident with the meeting on August 25th with the RTP. And that's all.
Okay, let's open it up to questions from members of CAMPO or comments. Anyone?
Question. Patrick, the section of College Parkway, now we've taken ownership of West College Parkway. We haven't yet taken ownership of all of College Parkway, East College Parkway, because that's part of an agenda item on the RTC's agenda as part of an amendment to our agreement with NDOT. So I'm assuming that those monies are not going to be spent until we actually own that portion of College Parkway that would receive the micro paving treatment.
Yeah, and actually you can see it fairly clearly on the map. The portion of College Parkway that is owned by NDOT still, but is proposed to be transferred next year, is the portion in the middle that is scheduled to receive no funding at this time. And as long as we have it up there, NDOT is actually also going to be doing additional micro paving still this season on Airport Road and on Fifth Street. So we will have an active season for the next year or so, and we're very happy for it.
Okay, thank you, Member Alvine, for pointing that out. That's an important item. Anyone else, any of our other members, have any questions or comments? Okay, with that, I'd like to open it up to the public again. You can see we have some ambitious work ahead of us using federal stimulus monies. Anyone have any comments, concerns? Okay, if not, again, this is an information item, and if you do have any concerns, members of the public who are watching on TV, there is a public meeting, and I believe, again, was that August 25? Yes, August 25 here in the community center in the Bonanza Room, and we look forward to having any comments that you may have. Okay, with that, I think that completes our agenda, or at least our active agenda items under item F. Now to agenda item G, internal communication administrative matters, G1, which is future agenda items. We obviously have two. Move forward. Do we have any other, Patrick, that we can alert us to?
Not the two alert me right now, but Mr. Taylor.
Hey, Mr. Taylor, I think, has one.
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman, and thank you. Recall that I think it was back, when was that, May? Yes, May. Federal Register notice came out that $1.5 billion nationwide had been made available for what's called the Tiger Discretionary Grant, transportation investment for generating economic recovery. Isn't that great? I like the backgrounds. But one of the projects on the approved list of NDOT and the four MPOs is, of course, the Carson City Freeway from Fairview to 50 West. We have hired consultant support helping us to get those applications prepared and dazzled, if you will, to contain all the relevant information. Those applications are due to the Office of the Secretary of Transportation September 15th. So I'd be happy to next CAMPO meeting just give you a brief update where we're at. And then by February of 2010, we should know which projects actually were selected for funding. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Taylor. Any other future agenda items? Okay, if not, next is adjournment. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So
Okay, we have a motion and a second, and we are adjourned. Thank you. The RTC meeting will start in 5 minutes? In 5 minutes. So, thank you.
Yeah, get it. Get it out of here.
Thank you. first time, I guess it was, yeah, it was in January. He was caught. Sabrina and I came to the first meeting after he got caught. And this place was jam-packed. There were people standing in the back. It's kind of interesting just watching all the body language appear.
I expected we were going to have a bunch of people on Old Clear Creek, but maybe not. And I had one call. Did you get the information? Because I didn't want to get it. I told the guy he maybe needs to come to RTC and explain his concerns. And I don't see anybody. It's not the people back. And I know Tom Keaton. He's got some other issues.
I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission to order. The date is Wednesday, August 12th, 2009. We're here in the Sierra Room at the Community Center. Kathy, will you please call the roll to determine a quorum?
Chairperson Aldean.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Carpenter.
Here.
Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Here.
Commissioner Mallory.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. We have one set of minutes to approve from the meeting of July 12th, 2009. Does any member of the commission have any comments or suggested corrections? If not, I'll entertain a motion. Yes, Kathy. Oh, okay. I'm not here to correct your own minutes. Okay.
So moved.
So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? They are approved. Thank you. Moving on to item C, modifications to the agenda. Patrick, I understand that F3 will become an informational item only.
Yes, it will. And F11, we are going to pull completely from the agenda for this evening with the hopes to bring it back in the near future.
F11, which is a contract with Winston & Associates. Okay. So we'll see that on the September agenda, most likely.
Yes. Hopefully
okay.
So.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's move on to the next item, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the commission, but not on items agendized for this meeting. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please see me after the meeting. I'd be more than happy to agendize your matter for a future meeting. And we already have somebody in the queue. Okay, Tom. Good evening.
Good evening, commissioners. I think it's been about 5 years since I've been before this particular commission.
It's been a while.
And Marv Texera was on it the last time I stood before it, so that shows you how long it's been. I'd like some clarification, probably from Patrick, but I realize this is not a debate session. Reading the story in the recent Nevada appeal, he talked about an increase of ridership to 12,900 and then said 3,900 of those rode for free. That means 30% of the people are riding for free. Is this common? Is that the normal number? If so, that's too many to ride for free. I realize it's senior citizens, of which I are one very many times over. But I feel it should be made clear that 30% of the people are riding free, if that's normal or if that was just a case in July.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
I'll save my other comments for later on the agenda item.
Okay.
Thank you.
Patrick?
And good evening, Patrick. It's nice to see you again.
Yeah, I've seen you so many times I couldn't remember where I saw you. I guess it wasn't here. I just like to note that that was a correct statement that there was no fare paid by those senior citizens, but we're happy to report that is only the case because we have a grant from the Division of Aging Services through the tobacco settlement that actually provides financial support for the service that is actually in excess of what we would have received if they would have paid, and actually allows the city to receive more federal funding than we would have had the fares been paid. So it's actually beneficial to our budget. But we're happy to help the seniors as well.
Thank you. I assume that's a satisfactory answer, Tom.
So I can debate it for
Okay, we won't go there. Thank you. Any other members of the public who wish to comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and move on to item E, disclosures. Does any member of the commission have anything to disclose about a contact with any member of the public on any item that's agendized for this evening's meeting? Seeing none, we'll move on to public meeting items. Item F1.
I'll be taking this one. Thank you. Yes, we handed out an updated Exhibit C and D that needs to go with your packet, and they were mislabeled, and D was actually missing, so make sure that that gets inserted in there, and the C, the one that you have in there that's labeled as such, removed. Sorry about that. This before you is to recommend to the Board of Supervisors an agreement with the Nevada Department of Transportation, and it results in the construction of two structures, two bridges in future Carson City Freeway alignment, one at Koontz Lane and one at Clearview Drive, and the Edmonds Drainage Channel that runs in between. This was the presentation that was brought to you last month by NDOT, and we now finally have the agreement here to go forward between the city and NDOT for this portion of the project.
Okay, thank you, Darren. I had a couple of questions since we're on the topic of exhibits. Exhibit B consists of, relates to maintenance of particular streets. We have a list of streets which includes Clearview, which is contained in the exhibit, Colorado, which is contained in the exhibit, and Valley View Drive, but we don't have similar exhibits for Koontz Lane and Edmonds. Is there a reason for that omission?
I don't know, other than the fact that that brings a very good question. The structures that are being constructed by NDOT, of course, will become theirs to maintain. But if that's not clear in here, we might need to do some more work on it.
Okay, well, if staff could take a look at that, and if there are additional exhibits that need to be attached. Andy?
I don't believe there are. What they're trying to show is that we're going to be maintaining the facilities at Clearview, the little turnaround on Colorado, and some of the stuff in the barrier rail on Valley View, and then the going on to the Koontz Bridge pavement. So I think the exhibits show the right thing, and we already have Edmonds, that's already ours to maintain anyway.
Okay.
So I think,
well,
I think they're correct.
Paragraph 3 specifically refers to maintenance duties and obligations and responsibilities for those various streets. So I guess we just were not giving a visual depiction of what those responsibilities are because right. They're further defined in the agreement.
Right.
Okay. Under paragraph 12, where it says to allow the city, these are under the department's obligations, to allow the city to review and comment on change orders that involve features or items related to phase 2B1 or utilities for which the city assumes a maintenance responsibility. The following sentence reads, approval shall be made within 5 working days. Shouldn't it read, a response shall be given within 5 working days? It sounds like a fait accompli that even if we have a problem with what's been submitted, we don't have the right to object because they're expecting our approval within 5 days. And it seemed to eliminate all of our discretion. Do you see where I'm looking? It's on paragraph 12 on page 5.
Yeah.
I mean, it just presupposes that we won't have any issues. Joel?
I agree with you. My only comment is this is sort of the standard wording that NDOT uses in contracts I've seen before. I don't think it necessarily would be read to require us to approve it within 5 working days, but I don't have a problem with changing the language to say a response shall be made, and then reading the following sentence, no response from the city shall constitute the city's acceptance.
Okay.
But we would need to take this back to NDOT.
Sure. That could be handled with a strikeout and an initial, you know, by each of the parties. So I think it's important that, yeah. Okay. Okay. Any other comments by members of the commission on the agreement that's before us? Any members or any comments from members of the audience on this cooperative agreement? Good evening.
Good evening, commissioners. My name's Chaz McCoring, 700 Wagner Drive, Carson City. I haven't had the advantage of looking at the agreement, but I remember in preliminary design of these two structures, there was an issue whether they might preclude the possibility of a multi-use path in this area, primarily on the east side of the freeway along the utility corridor. So when it comes to city staff reviewing the agreement and looking out for the city's interests, I would just ask that they keep that in mind when these things get built, because as I think you all know, the agreement between the city and NDOT was, while NDOT would not actively construct the path, they would not preclude its future construction. So city staff could just look out for that. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chaz. And my understanding is, based on the conversation we had at the previous meeting, there's a line on a map, yes. Basically, which was done for that express purpose. Correct. In order to not eliminate the potential of having a pathway, a multi-use pathway in that area. Thank you for your comments. Any other comments by members of the public? If not, I'll bring it back to the commission. Would somebody care to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to recommend approval by the Board of Supervisors of an agreement with the Nevada Department of Transportation that will result in the construction of a portion of the Carson City Freeway Phase 2B, including the structures at Coons Lane and Clearview Drive and the Edmonds Drainage Channel. The fiscal impact is an estimated cost of construction project at $17 million.
And subject to that, one modification, and actually I have another suggested change that I'd like the commission to entertain. It's on page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whereas. The last line, I think when we're defining the remainder of the freeway, it should be from the intersection of South Carson Street and Highway 50 West to Fairview Drive. Right now it says the remainder of the freeway from the intersection of South Carson Street, intersection of South Carson Street and what? It's the intersection of South Carson Street and Highway 50 West, just to be precise. So if the commission has no objection, if our council has no objection to that amendment.
And to include the amendments.
Okay, thank you. Joel, are you okay with that? Okay. All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. All right, move on to item F2, review and approval of amendment number 3 with NDOT regarding phase 2 funding of the Carson City Freeway. Andy.
I think that's mine. A couple of months ago, the chairman, the mayor, myself, and Darren Schultz met with the director of transportation to finalize this agreement, and that's what's before you this evening. Took a little while to get it out of their legal department, but it comports with the final negotiations that we had with the director. As you're aware, we're currently obligated to pay NDOT 3 cents of our gas tax in order to fund phase 2 of the freeway. And this then starts to change that funding agreement. This basically puts off us funding the 3 cents until the freeway is completely built. At some point in the future, right now it looks like that's approximately, based on the plans from NDOT, is approximately 2016. And then it also gives us credit for taking numbers of the state streets that the city will maintain in exchange for reducing the amount of money that we would pay NDOT in the future by some almost $8 million as a part of this program. We would, and it defines then when we will take some of the streets. Carson Street has been an issue for some time. We agreed in an earlier amendment to take Carson Street
The current agreement actually says that we will have it right now and we would be maintaining it. This agreement puts off us taking Carson Street until July 1st, 2010, which is, from our standpoint, a good thing, and allows us to accrue some more monies for use with for some of the projects. But and then putting off using or paying for the $15 million obligation and reducing it with the 3 cents also allows us to use those funds, about $1 million a year, $1,100,000 a year, for uses for maintenance and other obligations that the RTC would direct. When you look at the value of the exchange, it comports to about 30 years of maintenance for the streets that we would be taking, which is College Parkway, Fifth Street, Airport Road, and they're all enumerated in the document, which we think is a pretty fair value. We think that's a good thing for the city. We also think it's a really good thing for the city in the sense that we then control those streets and our residents go to us for permits and developers and that kind of thing, which, while you can't put a cost on that, it's certainly a great deal for the development community to deal with the city rather than having to deal with NDOT. That's not worth a, you can't put a value to that, but it's, I can tell you, in discussions with developers, they think that's a very large value. We think it's a pretty good deal. It also sets up a potential when we, once we finish the freeway, once the freeway is completed, the balance of Carson Street will come to the city, and then at that point, between a discussion with NDOT and ourselves, they will either pay us some additional funds in order to take the balance of the street, $2 or $3 million, or depending on the cost at the time, or they will renovate that portion of Carson Street. And then an additional item that Shelley had added in the agreement is that if they receive additional funding for the freeway from the federal government in the future, then we can discuss reducing our obligation even further based on the amount of monies that they might get from the federal government. For instance, if they got some more stimulus funds of some kind, we would want some more credits towards that obligation. And our hope is that they will be able to do that over the next, 5 or 10 years. And as a result, our obligation will go away completely. We can use those funds, then that 3 cents, to continue to maintain the streets that we have. So we think, all in all, it's a pretty good deal for the city. It was fairly complicated to work through, but all in all, I think it's a win-win for everybody as a part of the freeway project going forward and us taking over State Streets.
Thank you, Andy. Any questions by members of the commission? Bob?
So is the value that we're getting is 30 years of maintenance?
If you assume the 30 years of maintenance, which included Carson Street, it would be about $7.5 million. So about the same value for maintenance.
So then the trade-off then is it's either dollars paid under the obligation of the state, or we take the obligation to maintain the streets, and the equivalent of that is 30 years of maintenance. Okay. Is that a normal way of doing things, of valuing street?
It's one way. I don't know that any of this has been normal from the standpoint of, I don't think we would have seen a freeway constructed had we not originally stepped up to the plate and obligated ourselves for the first phase of the freeway. I don't think we would be seeing the second phase of the freeway had we not obligated ourselves to move forward with that. What we have been trying to do is reduce our obligation over the last 3 or 4 years through some of these additional negotiations related to the freeway. So,
what's the other side of the coin if you were to say, hey, we don't want those streets, and what happens then?
The state would keep those streets. We would then, beginning July 1st of this year, be obligated to pay them 3 cents of our gas tax, our collected gas tax, which is about $1.1 million per year, and mostly. What that'll affect is it'll bring to a screeching halt our improvement program for RTC.
Well, in addition to that, I think that in our last meeting with the director of NDOT, we asked that question, and I think her response was very pointed, and that was, and I don't want to misconstrue it here, You know, NDOT obviously has less dollars, fewer dollars to spend than they have in the past, and frankly, the quality of the maintenance will decline on those streets. And that's the downside. And I think that's a pretty significant downside, at least from my perspective. Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Andy, the $7 million over the next 30 years is what we're estimating the maintenance on these streets will cost. And has that been extrapolated out at a rate of inflation, or is that just in today's dollars?
That included a small inflation, like 1.5% inflation, not knowing what it was. You think about the 3 cents equates to about $1.1 million. It's probably a little less now because we're actually collecting a little less. Maybe it's more like $1 million. So, the, you know, 30 years of that is about $30 million. Some of that's going to go into new roadway construction and then obviously maintenance of our, besides the roadways that we're taking here, but roadways that we already have within the system. We get 9 cents right now. RTC gets 9 cents, and then we also have the street funding as well. What we have found that as our street maintenance costs rise, we've had to subsidize the street maintenance fund from RTC. We went to the legislature a couple years ago to get a bill passed, which was passed, and we now are able to fund some of that, some of the 9 cents back to streets in order to keep up with the maintenance. So over time, that's going to grow. But the good thing is that the Carson City is in a unique position of knowing what its build out is. We don't have a lot of new roads to build in the future. What we will be doing is rebuilding our old roads. And so it looks like to me in over time, we should be okay. You know, once we get through the bondedness that we've gone through to build all these new roads, get through that, you know, 20 years from now, we'll have paid off most of our bonds, and a lot of the monies that we'll be using will be used just for maintenance costs and not building new, you know, brand new facilities. It'll just be rebuilding facilities that we already have.
Thank you.
And Andy, you and I in a prior conversation, you mentioned to me that the formula is going to change as well. As we take responsibility for additional miles of roadway, we will get an increased share.
Right.
Of the gas tax.
That's right. Because we're taking these new roadways, they now become roadways in our column, and part of the monies we get from the state are formulaically done, and we get a little bit of money because of the miles of roadways we have, population and roadway miles. So that number will rise a little bit. It's not a great number, a great amount of money, but it will add to the maintenance dollars that we get that will go back to the streets fund.
Any other questions by members of the commission before I open it to public comment? Any comments by members of the public on this issue? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. I did have a question. I think that we may have touched upon this, Andy, in some prior conversations with NDOT. Under the mutually agreed provision, when they're talking about NDOT shall provide Carson with copies of records and so forth, that include but are not limited to legal descriptions, right-of-way maps, utility easement descriptions, maintenance records, as-built plans, and structural details. How about encroachments? Haven't we had a problem with encroachments?
They will provide that report.
Should we add that to the list of things that are included?
I don't know that we need to.
Or does it just be automatic?
They've already been doing that with some of the roadways that we've been working on already.
Okay. And the only other suggested change I had is to, on page 3, to paragraph 8. In all of our prior conversations, we were talking about our responsibility to take ownership of the balance of Carson Street, and in this case it relates to other state highways, the ones that are listed in attachment B, it was always predicated upon the opening of the freeway to traffic as opposed to the completion of the freeway. And I'd like to maintain what we have previously agreed to, because I think there's a difference. Well, I know there's a difference between completing construction and actually having the motoring public using the facility. So in 8, if we could write that to read, within 18 months of the opening of Phase 2 of the Carson City Freeway project to traffic, then it's consistent with what we've always assumed was the commitment that NDOT had made. Okay. All right. Well, if there are no other comments or questions by members of the commission, would somebody care to make a motion?
We negotiated this deal.
Well, One of many.
Well,
you know, I think that one of the things that we pressed NDOT for, and they did give us a list of other relinquishments in the state. Obviously, there was some concern that Carson City was being singled out for this distinction. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that this is part of an overall statewide policy and that we weren't, you know, being specifically burdened with having to accept these streets in perpetuity in terms of maintenance. And they did provide that list. And this is becoming, this started under the Gwynne administration, and this is becoming more and more commonplace that they are turning these streets that they feel have no value but have substantial liability over to local jurisdictions. So this is a continuation of what is a policy that was, as I say, established under the Gwynne administration. So I think that staff has done a good job of looking out for Carson City's best interests. I did receive an email, and I think that the mayor received the same email, regarding the need for a life cycle cost analysis, but I think that's what we've done, obviously, by extending out the costs, estimating what those costs will be, and determining that what we're receiving as a cash benefit is going to be sufficient to allow us to maintain these streets for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, with that, yes, Mr. Mayor.
Well, not to put too fine a point on the issue of opening versus completion, should the similar change be made in paragraph 7? And second, while we're at it, on paragraph 8.
I agree with that change. Yes, it should be consistent. Absolutely. Okay.
Maybe I'm misreading what's going on here, but is the 18-month start before or after the opening of the bypass for traffic?
Anytime within after the opening.
I mean, I think if you take both 7 and 8 together and you make them consistent, then that happens. But okay,
right.
Thank you. All right.
So what if they within that 18-month period, they fail, it's a minor oversight, they fail to relinquish the streets, then we're no longer obligated to accept them?
Maybe so.
You get a new snow plow.
Okay. Okay, well, would anyone care to make a motion to approve the agreement as amended?
Madam Chair.
Charles.
I just wanted to add, I think the public is looking very carefully at the whole aspect of us taking streets over from NDOT, and that was brought to my attention several weeks ago at the Eagle Valley Middle School presentation by the school board. There were a couple individuals commented about Carson River Road and what the future of that would be. So I think this is an item that the public is looking at very carefully. Thank you.
Well, you know, there are obviously some disadvantages to accepting responsibility, long-term responsibility for maintaining these roads. But as Andy points out, it simplifies the approval process for people who have projects adjacent to these roadways, may need encroachment permits onto these roadways. And, you know, it gives us, as a city, more autonomy to control what happens on those roadways.
I should note this agreement will also go to the Board of Supervisors, since the original agreements were done at the Board of Supervisor level, so that we'll have to go to the board, and that's going to happen next week.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Any further comments or questions? Would somebody care to make a motion?
I'll do it.
Okay.
You want me to do it?
Sure.
Russ, you going to do it?
Russ, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I move to approve Amendment Number 3 to Highway Agreement Number R159-97-060, as amended by Highway Agreement Number R386-04-002.
As amended?
As amended.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Any comments on the question?
No, just that I think, you know, I did get the email on the life cycle improvement issues, and you know, that was the genesis of my questions to you, Andy, and to the public, is to make sure that that's the method by which we calculate it. And you know, I think everybody wants to make sure that we're not, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, we're not assuming an obligation that's going to hamstring us down the road. I mean, and you know, I appreciate your answer, and you know, from my perspective, you know, it's been answered satisfactorily, so I'm ready to second the motion.
Thank you. Any further comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So moved.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
About public comment on the item?
I opened up public comment prior to the vote. Yeah, sorry. I believe I did. Did I not?
Yeah,
yes,
you did.
Yes.
You did.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. But thank you for keeping me honest. Okay. All right. That's right. He owes me a hamburger?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to item F3. As we indicated earlier in the meeting, this was originally agendized for action, but for reasons that Patrick will disclose, we are going to be accepting public comment this evening, but we will not take action on this item until next month. Patrick?
That is correct, and as you can tell, I discussed this with the chairman this morning. The reason for not taking formal action does not actually relate directly to the contents of this document. Staff is actually happy with the contents of this document, and it's something that we believe that we not only should do, that we need to do to bring our standard operating procedures in line with guidelines and regulations and standard practice of transit agencies nationwide that are subject to the same rules as us. The reason that we have requested that no formal action be taken at this time is because several other parallel efforts, other pieces of the puzzle, if you may, are a little bit up in the air, and we want to make sure that they are in place at the time that we start the changeover. It's going to be a six-month process planned right now for October 1st through April 1st, where we'll do a switchover of recertification of JAC Assist eligible riders. And before we begin that time period, we want to make sure that we have our new ID system in place and operating, because we're going to be issuing ID cards to persons that are eligible to purchase and use disabled passes and to use our JAC Assist service. We have a scheduling software that's going to improve the efficiency of our service, and that will be used in coordination with the ID system to make sure that all the folks are eligible. And finally, we are going to be relocating from one building at the corporate yard to another. And it's actually a very favorable move, even though we're comfortable where we're at. It's not very accessible to the disabled, to the public in general, and to disabled persons specifically. And if we are going to be requesting numerous disabled persons in the city to come to the office to have pictures taken, and even if we're taking them with our own vehicles, as we will, it'd be better to be in that new building that we're scheduled to get into, hopefully by the end of next month. But we're going to, and Annie's nodding, but as this isn't scheduled to go into effect until October anyway, staff sees no need to approve at this time. It could easily be approved at the next meeting and still go into effect October 1st, presuming the rest of our stars line up. And lastly, I'll just point out that not only was there a public comment period held, there was a public informational meeting held, where not only did we do the regular public notice procedures, we intentionally reached out to all of the significant providers of services to disabled persons. As you can see in your packet, we actually had 11 representatives of various organizations that serve disabled people attend. Our coworker Dan Dendis over here met with them and worked with them on that, and logged the comments, and we did make several changes, including some of the suggested changes to the document. We did respond to those documents. We actually extended the comment period even longer so that we would be able to put notifications on the vehicles for all of our passengers to see as well. We wanted to make sure that there were adequate opportunities for public comment in addition to the notices that go for these meetings as well. So I'll stop there, but if commissioners have anything they would like to discuss or any changes they'd like made before we bring it back for action, we'd be happy to do so.
Thank you, Patrick. We do have a couple of questions. Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the back of these ID cards, will you be selling advertising?
On the backs of them, huh? We had... I'm, I
The IV machine has actually arrived, and I haven't looked to see what the capabilities are of printing on the back. It's actually just arrived, and it's in a box on the floor in Keith's office. so I can look and see what we've got.
The advertising might pay for that that machine.
It just might.
Yes.
Thank you, Russ. Commissioner Desjardins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Patrick, let me see if I understand you correctly. On the recertification, you indicated that the disabled are to go out to the corporate yard area on Buddeye. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Was there any thought? That seems to me perhaps a little out of reach, or maybe not a good area for at least the severely disabled. I know I signed up for the senior pass at the Senior Citizen Center. Was there any other thought or discussion making the recertification location maybe a little more available to certain individuals?
Yes, we actually considered the Senior Center, which is the location for those free senior passes, as you mentioned. However, we are going to have we have one set of equipment to do this, the ID issuing, and the folks that are on Jack Assist that are certified now will actually be provided with rides on Jack Assist to the corporate yard so they can be sure to get there. We will actually provide the transportation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Any comments or questions by members of the audience? Patrick, I noticed that as a result of some input, I think it was from DD4 Master, a number of changes were made to the bulk of the document, except some of the attachments. Those changes were not made. You might want to take a look at Part A, personal contact information. We're substituting curb to curb with origin to destination. We need to make that change on page 1 of 5. On page 5 of 5, under the same document, we were going to eliminate the reference to complimentary since it may be misconstrued. And that also occurs on Part B. We have a reference to complimentary and curb to curb that needs to be replaced with origin to destination. And then again, under the authorization, disclosure of protected health information authorization form, we probably want to remove the reference to complimentary as well. Okay. All right. Any further discussion by members of the commission?
Carson Cabo Hospital.
As a location for the disabled?
As an advertiser.
As an advertiser. I think as every person boards the bus, we pat them on the back and we leave a little decal advertising Jack. What do you think?
I like it.
You would. He's our advocate, our advertising advocate. Yes. I appreciate that, Russ. Not letting us forget. What about advertising? we'll take that up at another time on the agenda. Maybe as another item for future discussion. Okay, this is informational only, and Patrick will look forward to receiving it back next month, I assume, since the implementation date is in October, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. Adopt a resolution approving an interlocal agreement with Story County. Who's going to handle this, Patrick?
I'm going to handle this, and in a moment I'm going to ask Representative Story County just to address you briefly so he can introduce himself. Keith Pearson and myself have actually been discussing this on and off for probably close to a year and a half, and I previously presented to the Story County Board, and they actually subsequently formed a Regional Transportation Commission, which previously did not exist, with one of the purposes being looking into this possibility. And while it's been a little bit of a slow process, I'm happy to report that the Story County Regional Transportation Commission followed through on what was started some time ago and has dedicated a somewhat small portion of money, but not insignificant, towards a first step of transit service, and had reached out to us. We discussed it, and the basics of the service would be that if approved by both counties, of course, including this evening, a service would start in October that would operate on Wednesdays only for a period of 1 year and would operate with 4 round trips daily, 2 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon, between Carson City and Virginia City. And the local funding would be coming from the Story County RTC, as indicated in the agreement, and it would be the responsibility of Carson City and Campo staff to arrange for the federal funding reimbursements. There is a fixed cost put in here that accounts for all the costs it takes to run the service, including, of course, the operating contract that currently is with MV Transportation, Inc., maintenance, fuel, the insurances are included in that contract with the operator. We'll use a jack vehicle. We have sufficient vehicles available to provide the service, and we are happy to do something with Story County that will serve, hopefully, residents of Carson City and Story County. And with that,
would you like to introduce the gentleman from Story County?
Yes, Mr. Austin Osborne, the planner for Story County.
Welcome.
Commissioner's Board, thank you. My name is Austin Osborne. I'm the planner for Story County. I started just about a year ago, and one of the top priorities I want to do is to get something like this going. We have a lot of seniors in Virginia City and a lot of people who don't have cars, driver's licenses, et cetera. And when I told them that I work really hard on trying to work something out with this, they just, you know, quite a bit of joy. I'd like to say Patrick and Keith have been amazing to work with and getting this agreement set up. So really, I'm here to answer any questions you might have in regard to this. Otherwise, I just want to say appreciate your help and thank you.
Well, thank you for being here this evening. And I'm assuming that you've established the need based on surveys?
That's correct. I sent a survey out about 3 months ago, started a survey. It was a one-page document, it was a fold-out, and basically asked who, you know, some demographic information, who you are, what you're about, where you'd like to go, and what times. And I was expecting, really, to be honest with you, based on the first survey that was sent out before I was there, where we got about 6 or 7 surveys back, I was expecting about the same thing. In fact, I got over 50 back, quite a stack, and very few of them are, you know, people said, I don't want to participate, but largely there's a very high turnout of people that would like to participate.
Into service. A organization that I belong to had a number of individuals that lived in Virginia City, and they were commenting to me, since they knew I was an RTC commissioner, that they would love to have what we're talking about here. And so I hope those individuals have got to you and indicated a demand. It's true bus systems during 1 week is not very much, but I guess it's a start. And I think we all know none of these pay for themselves. So, you know, the public the taxpayers end up paying for some of the ride costs. But nonetheless, we do have a demand, I'm sure. And in Virginia City, probably just like Carson City, is an older, growing population and probably need that service. Maybe the one time or the one day per week is sufficient, but I'm sure Patrick and you will monitor that very carefully and let us know. And if it doesn't work, we'll pull it. Thank you.
I agree with you completely. Our plans actually were to run 1 day a week and kind of like a test to see what would the ridership be. We're not expecting, obviously, to make money off of this. We know it's a loss, but it would be a benefit to the community. And we're hoping within a year to see what's the ridership, what kind of success is it, and then we'd like to expand it possibly to other days, maybe a Saturday, and then if that's a success, possibly even look at expanding the route to include Mark Twain, Dayton, and other communities that apply to this route.
Thank you. Mayor Kroll.
Following up on Commissioner Carpenter's question, help me understand how we get an additional bus. I mean, how does that happen?
How it happens is that we, several months ago, accepted delivery of two new vehicles. And we have, and the intent was always to use them as replacement for other vehicles. We do have one vehicle that we will be disposing of this fall, but that still leaves us with an excess vehicle and sufficient vehicles in our fleet to keep the service running. And currently, we have four buses that are under construction, not due for delivery for another 6 months or so. And once those arrive, we'll have yet another opportunity to dispose of the older vehicles.
Okay, any other questions by members of the commission? Thank you, Mr. Osborne. I don't think we have any other questions for you. I'm going to open this up to members of the public. Does anyone in the audience wish to make a comment? Thank you. Mr. Keaton, welcome back.
Good evening, Tom Keaton. Since I'm out of hibernation, while up here twice. Anyway, for the record, for everybody, they know I'm not in favor of Jack or public transportation or any of that nonsense, unless it makes money or at least breaks even. I see us walking another path where, yes, we're going to get federal money for this and for that, but we're going to lose money, but we like to lose money because it's a service to the community. I see this as mostly benefiting Story County, not us. I suppose they'll come here and spend money, and I'm sure that will help. But I just see another bit of money going dribbling down the drain by doing this. And when they talk about expanding it to Dayton and Mark Twain and other places, then they're still spreading it out. And every time you increase it, you lose a little more money all the time. And I'm not a big fan of the fact that, well, the federals are going to pay a lot of this, because I pay federal taxes even though I'm retired for many years. And I don't like to see my federal taxes go for this kind of stuff either. So if it were up to me, I'd vote no. But I see the steamroller in all your faces, and I realize I'll probably get rolled over. But I would like you to at least put a limit on what this can do. And I still don't understand where the money's coming. Story County's going to put up $10,000. I understand that part. Somehow we're going to put up another, is it another 10 or another 20 that we're going to put up? Somebody answer.
Well, there's a federal match.
Well, I understand.
That we're applying for, and then we're providing the vehicle. And Tom, my assumption is, and I think it's a valid assumption, that we have, you know, integrated into the charge to Story County, we've accounted for the wear and tear on our vehicles, the personnel charges.
That's Patrick's job.
Right, exactly.
I'm not going to try and criticize him on that.
Right.
He's much better at that than I am.
We are not providing any local dollars. Story County is providing the local match.
Where's the federal dollars going to come from?
FTA.
Are we making the application? Is Story making the application?
Go ahead,
Patrick.
We actually have more than enough federal dollars available through CAMPO. Carson City gets a portion of the funds. We've already applied for those, and we have excess dollars available.
So you're going to use it for Story County?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. I would at least like to be very certain that that's the most we're going to spend on this. If we run out of the $20,000, everything quits right then and there. And I don't like the idea that's written in one of the paragraphs that says, well, we'll renew it next March 31st. I'd like us to really take a look at this and say it's a one-year trial, and it either has to prove very worthwhile for everybody or it goes away. With that, I'll return to my seat and see you all again at the next meeting, maybe.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Okay. We have one more gentleman interested in speaking. Good evening.
Good evening, Chair Aldean, members of the RTC. My name's Howard Riedel. Live here in Carson City. I'd just like to say it sounds like this is a new service, and therefore you are eligible to use CMAQ funding for a three-year period to fully fund service.
We do not receive CMAQ funding as CAMPO, because we are not over 200,000 persons in our UZA, urbanized area. And we are not out of compliance with air quality regulations.
Okay.
So that's a funding source we don't receive.
Now, are those two, those are both prerequisites to receiving this source of funding? Because at some point, yeah, we will be under the 200,000 mark. Okay.
And many, many other urbanized areas do receive that source, but we do not.
All right. Well, I thank you for the suggestion, though. Thank you very much. I just had one other comment. But first, Commissioner Mallory, go ahead. Please, go ahead, please.
I'd like to respond to Mr. Keaton, 2 points. One is the concept and structure of an MPO, which is CAMPO, is to provide regionalized service. And Story County is part of CAMPO, so this does make sense. I'm not being steamrolled by anything, but it makes sense to reach out to Douglas County and Story County and to try to provide some service, because that's part and parcel of the mission of an MPO. And the second thing is that while you perhaps don't like transit services that don't break even, none of them do. And the transit community has goes a great length to provide livable communities and to provide service for people that don't have cars and don't want to drive and things like that. So there's a value to the community that goes, I think, beyond what we look at each as an individual taxpayer. The American Public Transit Association has published numbers for years and years that says for every local dollar, every one local dollar that's put into local public transportation, the community gets back $6 from all kinds of different sources. And that goes into the businesses, it goes into the mom-and-pop stores and everything else. Some of it's federal dollars, some of it's local dollars, some of it's generated money. So it is an economic generator, despite the fact that many people feel it's just a total drain on the economy, which it is not. It provides a value to the community. Notwithstanding any of your comments, those are mine.
Thank you, Commissioner Mallory. And it also reduces wear and tear on our asphalt. Fewer cars in the roadway, less wear and tear. So, one additional clerical change on page 3, paragraph 4. Should probably read, this agreement is intended for CCRTC to provide inner-city service for a not-to-exceed net operating cost of $20,000. Just a slight clerical change. Okay. Any further public comment before we close public comment and move to the vote? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Yes, Commissioner Desjardins.
I just wanted to add on to what Mr. Keaton has said, and I'm sure it's in here, but I can't find it right off, and that is that we will revisit this service after 1 year. It's not written into the recommended commission action, but maybe that might be wise that we put something in there in the commission action if it's not in the inter-local agreement.
Rely on the motion maker of the motion to do that. And I also wanted to point out that under the mutually agreed provision, it just says continuation of the agreement beyond the current fiscal year is subject to an amendment and contingent upon sufficient funds being appropriated, budgeted, and otherwise made available.
Yes, and also on page 3, paragraph 2, it says that the agreement shall be effective until September 30th, 2010. Unless either parties decide to back out with 60-day notice. So we do have some assurances in this that the agreement is going to last until a year from now, and then it'll be revisited. And I think that that's only the safe thing to do as far as starting a new enterprise. Because this is an enterprise, and we're spending the taxpayers' monies to affect it, and I think we need to get some advertising on that bus.
Okay, Commissioner Kroll.
Let me just see if I think I understand the transaction here. We're going to provide bus service for up to $20,000. In equivalent service, and we're going to do that at the rate of $50 an hour, right?
Correct.
So, in response to a question that I think that you made to Mr. Keaton, the $50 an hour is a rate calculated to what?
The $50 is the gross rate, the before any federal reductions, before any fare reductions, the gross rate to operate the service. So it, as I mentioned, includes
But the $50 an hour, not to belabor the point, the $50 an hour is designed to recover the costs that Carson City would incur in providing that service on an hourly basis. Is that right or wrong?
That is correct.
Okay, and I assume that that's an accurate number, that
yeah,
we're being made whole from that standpoint. I mean, or is the $50 a subsidized amount?
No,
$100 an hour to run that?
That is,
we're only charging 50, or what is it?
That is that is a calculated amount that ensures that Carson City is not subsidizing the service.
Okay,
with
so
local
Carson
dollars.
City gets Carson City gets Carson City's made whole in this transaction. Story County may be subsidizing the service. Am I understanding that right?
Story County will be subsidizing the service,
and that's where Mr. Keaton's comment is about. If they want to subsidize it, that's their business, but also it's also his business in a sense that he's a federal taxpayer, because some of that's going to come back in ARR funds or some funds. Am I right so far?
Correct.
Okay. The last question here, and I don't mean to belabor the point here. It's a cap of $20,000 on this from our standpoint. In other words, for the next year, we're going to do this. We're going to provide up to $20,000. And I assume that we can do that. I haven't done the math, but I assume that we can do four runs once a week for $20,000 at $50 an hour. That's how it should run out, right?
Correct.
Okay. And so just to follow up in the last little bit here is that would it ever be a situation where you're going to be over that $20,000?
No. The only situation would be is if we didn't have any. We have 52 Wednesdays, 52 weeks in a year. The only way we could go over is if we didn't have any holidays that fell on Wednesdays, and we do have holidays that fall on Wednesdays, so we can't go over.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any more clarifying questions? Seeing none, would somebody care to make a motion?
I'll make it if I can find my statement here. I move to adopt a resolution approving an interlocal agreement with Story County Regional Transportation Commission, newly formed, I assume, to provide intercity service between the two counties.
And Bob, would you include that and it may be implied in the agreement, that the service will be reevaluated at the end of the contract period?
Yes.
Yes, that's
right.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Dave must be in the room. Thank you, Mr. Morgan. This is an informational item regarding the potential closure of Old Clear Creek Road in Carson City and Douglas County. Who's going to handle this? Our city manager is in the audience. Larry, are you going to join us to handle this item, or you're going to defer to staff?
Exactly.
Exactly.
John, here for resources.
Okay. All right. Who would get Andy? Joel, anyone?
Okay, I'll start by pointing out that this item is on the agenda at the specific request of the chairperson as an informational item only.
And I will say that I received an email from Commissioner Carpenter requesting that I agendize this for discussion. So thank
yes.
you, Commissioner Carpenter.
So to hit some of the high points, residents, property owners on what is Old Clear Creek Road, that is located both in Carson City and Douglas County, have indicated their intent to erect some sort of gates to prohibit public use of that road. That road was formerly owned and operated by the Nevada Department of Transportation, but was abandoned to the respective property owners approximately 60 years ago. Previously in front of the RTC included in your packet The RTC did consider the possibility presented at that time by the city engineer, Mr. Lawrence A. Werner, PE, an opportunity to spend approximately $2.7 million to be funded by the property owners to bring the road up to at least a minimum standard, with the assumption that the ownership and maintenance of the road thereafter would be taken over by joint agreement of Carson City and Douglas County. That that material is attached here. And the result of that effort, there was a public meeting held, and the residents expressed no interest in pursuing that option at that time. So that is where we stand, and I will note that a copy of a letter from the Washoe Tribe of Nevada and California was distributed by Mr. Werner prior to the meeting regarding the installation of a gate across Washoe Tribal Trust land that is located on Old Clear Creek Road and is displayed in a map attached to that letter. The letter dated August 10th, 2009.
Thank you for that background information, Patrick. Would anybody else care to weigh in? Larry, do you have anything that you'd like to add to Patrick's statement?
No, I think Larry Werner, city manager, I think Patrick did an excellent job of laying out probably the recent history. But this has been a topic of conversation for probably about the last 60 years between Douglas County and Carson City. It came up again, I think the last time that I was involved with it was probably around the 1990-91 timeframe, when I was public works director for Douglas County for a short period of time. And Douglas County took the same position that Carson City always had, is that it's simply not a roadway that is of an interest to either county to maintain for the limited number of residents that lived on that roadway. The costs were just exorbitant to try to maintain that. And since that time, neither county has really maintained that roadway. We have, on a rare occasion, provided snow removal to help people if there was deep, deep snow, but I suspect it's probably once every other year kind of a situation, if even that. Maybe even less frequent than that. We don't do any maintenance as far as potholes go. Every once in a while, we may help them if there's been a major washout and there's based on a flood or something, but that's what we would do under normal circumstances with anybody. But as far as the regular routine maintenance goes, it's always been the property owners themselves. The only thing I can offer, I think what precipitated a lot of this was the construction of I can't think of the name of it now, John Serpa's property over in Douglas County, where the construction activity and the trucks actually started using that roadway and doing quite a bit of damage. And I think that's what precipitated the Washoe Tribe's letter, but also precipitated the property owners having concern about controlling traffic, because the assurances were made that that was not going to be the case, that in fact they would use the new underpass on Spooner on Highway 50, which has never been opened yet. And I'm not sure exactly what the reasons for that are. We've not been a party to that to understand why that isn't open. Had that roadway been open, then access to the forest lands to the west would be obtained through that connection up on Spooner itself. At that point, the new roadway connects the old Clear Creek roadway. Everything to the west is kind of the public lands, Forest Service lands, that's saying everything to the east is really private ownership, with the exception of the Washoe Tribe property. So it's kind of a nutshell. I don't know if that kind of answers the question, but we have, as Carson City and Douglas County, visited this several times and has always taken the position that we are not going to be responsible for maintenance, and therefore the local property owners are. And they then have asked that question several times, can we close it off? And we've basically said yes.
Larry, a couple of questions. What's the status of the state's ownership on old?
They refuse any recognition of ownership at all.
Well, no, but they have a property that used to be the.
They took the position that that's not their problem.
Okay, but the building that was on the property has been demolished.
Right.
It's a piece of vacant land.
Right.
And they're not concerned about maintaining access to that property, or they'd negotiate that with the property
They would
owners.
Be treated like a private property owner, as
okay,
would anybody
so they
else.
They would have continued access.
Yeah, and when we talked about the proposal for doing a limited improvement district, we actually approached Buildings and Grounds about a contribution. At one time, they had talked about a couple $100,000 contribution. If the rest of the property owners would kick in, then the state would kick in a couple $100,000.
But in order for Douglas County and Carson City to be willing to maintain the roadway would have to be brought up to minimal standards, right? And that's where these projected costs come in. Now, has this number been at all diminished by the improvements that have been made by NDOT to Highway 50?
Oh, none whatsoever. No. All these were costs that were strictly on Eau Claire Creek, and it was to get it to the point that it was passable. It did not meet our minimum standards by any stretch of the imagination. It would not mean minimum widths. It would not mean that. It would just be to the point that we'd have a glorified driveway, I think is the best way to describe it. And at that point, we said we'd maintain it at that, because to bring it to a minimum city standard would be multi-millions of dollars.
Okay. I know that they've had problems with washouts, and I thought that that was resolved by some of the improvements that have been constructed by NDOT on Highway 50. Is that not the case?
They did some work along Highway 50, but it had nothing to do with what went on Old Kirker Road itself.
There are projects planned by NDOT to resolve those drainage issues.
Okay, but they haven't been implemented yet.
They have not been implemented. Yeah. I should mention, too, that we have an agreement with Douglas County and NDOT. Remember, there's a small little piece of the overpass, and the access to goes through Carson City, and the small piece of roadway which goes through that state property.
Correct.
We passed our maintenance responsibility to Douglas County as a part of that. We accepted the roadway, but then passed the roadway maintenance to Douglas County. And RTC approved that agreement a year or two ago.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. And Joel, you have performed kind of an informal legal analysis on the status of the road. Would you like to
Well, yes. I was asked to look into to see if the city had any interest in the road or in keeping the road open. And it appears that based upon the procedure of the abandonment of the road, that's when the city could have either taken over maintenance of the road or could have lobbed some sort of objection, but that was over 60 years ago, and currently the city has no interest no legally enforceable interest in forcing the road to be opened.
Okay, and obviously there's some people who are alleged that there's a prescriptive right of use, but that your analysis did not include a determination of whether or not that, in fact,
The district attorney provides legal advice on the civil division, provides legal advice to the city. I can't provide legal advice to individuals on what rights they may or may not have.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Just wanted to establish that for the record. Yes, Commissioner Kroll.
I understand it's conceptual, and we don't have the formal, we don't have the actual particulars of how this is going to be effectuated, if it is effectuated. Would it preclude all public access, or would pedestrian, equestrian, and bikes be used, or is it just vehicular traffic that's being shut down?
I think you'd have to ask the owners themselves, Mr. Mayor. We have no indication if they gate it, they would assume that distinction, but we have no indication of what they're going to control.
Okay, well, if there are no further comments or questions by members of the commission, I'm going to open this up to members of the public, because I know there are at least a couple of people in the audience who would like to be heard. So, gentlemen, if you'd like to come forward.
Thank you, Chair Aldine, members of RTC, Howard Riedel, citizen of Carson City. For disclosure, I am on the Open Space Advisory Committee, but I'm here as a citizen talking on this issue. Last Friday, I was made aware of the potential closure by Clear Creek LLC. Somebody referred me to the Nevada Appeal articles, and I was pretty shocked by some of the comments in there, so I feel compelled to provide testimony on this. My opposition to gating that is based on there's clear, historic, substantial, and continual public access on Clear Creek Road. So I disagree that they have a right to gate it. I've done some research. Clear Creek Road, first road, 1875. It was an alternative route to the Lake Bigler Toll Road, aka Kings Canyon. Widespread use of the automobile took attention away from Old Clear Creek Road onto Kings Canyon Road once again as a pioneer route for the Lincoln Highway. That was short-lived, and about 1928, Kings Canyon Road went into disrepair when Lincoln Highway actually was built over Donner's Summit. And my research shows there's maps on the NDOT website, historical maps, That Clear Creek Road became a state highway, Clear Creek Highway, Route 3. In 1929, it was a graded road. It was paved in 1933. The 1933 map has a picture of, it's titled View from Clear Creek Highway going up to Lake Tahoe. Very interesting. Now, I do understand that NDOT abandoned the right-of-way some 60 years ago, 30 years ago. I've heard a lot of different things. However, public use never was continued, never was restricted. There was no effort, bona fide effort, to restrict access. Matter of fact, I took my daughter up several times to the youth camp, going up there, walked, ran, rode my bicycle 18 years. This was even before many of the residents were up there. In addition to public access that has been maintained throughout history on this roadway, we did some research. My friend Chaz McCory did some research and found that 8 of the 12 parcel maps that were recorded do allow public access on Clear Creek Road. These are 8 of the 12 that I guess have formed the LLC. So given the facts that use of the roadway was established and has been continual well before Clear Creek LLC was formed, I urge Carson City to prohibit them from blocking access, and I'm going to say the same thing to Douglas County too. I understand the jurisdictional issues. Further, I urge Carson City to conduct public hearings in accordance with NRS 405.191 and 405.195. This is easily done. It's a determination of the access rights. You could easily find evidence that it is a private road, but open for public use, of which Carson City would have no maintenance responsibility or liability for that public use. So I'd like you to consider that. Thank you.
Chaz McCory, citizen of Carson City. I would just like to follow up on Howard's comments. I think for me, the issue is, which Mayor Kroll touched on, is what exactly would be the nature of the closure. The letter from the Washoe Tribe was referenced earlier in staff comments, and their objection is to construction traffic to the Clear Creek LLC project up there, and they want to put up a gate to stop construction traffic. They don't actually mention in their letter any objection to public using it for walking or riding or bicycling. And that really is the bottom line of my concern. I have no objection to a gate per se for vehicular traffic, but it is an important trail access to the public lands in the hills above Carson City. And I would really like to see that maintained. The issue, and that's really totally separate from this issue of maintenance. As Howard pointed out, that's really nothing to do with this. The issue is public access. The issue is not maintenance. That was resolved, at least thus far, some years ago, as Larry pointed out. So the issue is public access. It's not maintenance at all. It wouldn't be a liability for the city or Douglas County to maintain it. As Howard pointed out, there is legal public access across 8 of the 12 parcels within Carson City via the parcel maps that created them. And that is not a continuous access, public access, because the access on the other four parcels is somewhat gray. However, I would urge the city to keep tabs on this and direct staff to further investigate the issue of maintaining public access to the public lands. The other thing I was going to say is the new interchange will not help public access, actually, because the road off the interchange is private. It's privately owned by the LLC. So that does not, per se, provide public access as an alternative. I mean, that may have been the intent, but in reality, it doesn't do that. They could gate their bit, too. So that would mean if they gated that, there would be no access by a Clear Creek Road or the new interchange to public lands. Thank you.
Thank you, Chaz. Any comments by members of the commission? Commissioner Mallory.
I'd like to ask Howard or Mr. McCleary, do you have any idea how many people use the facility right now, the highway, on an annual basis for
recreation?
Any kind of recreation, hiking or bicycling or horses?
I know I do.
Would you be willing to work with the landowners and provide assurances for them that there'd be certain, no trash picked up and the recreational people wouldn't tread on their property, things like that?
Well, absolutely.
Paint put down, certain signs, cleanup days, things sure. like that?
Absolutely. And matter of fact, being on the Open Space Committee, we actually had a cleanup, sponsored a cleanup day, and we actually had people go up Clear Creek and pick up trash.
I know most communities that strongly support bicycle programs and pedestrian programs like Portland or the Trail in Sacramento. It just adds to the quality of the community. And in our town here, we don't have very many trails. The Flume Trail, which is quite difficult to get up to, it's not an easy trail, has 50,000 or more users every year. The trail over in Tahoe City has in excess of 1 million users between Tahoe City and Squaw Valley. So the reason why I was asking you earlier about the demand for the facility, it's probably a very great demand for a facility like that to be able to get from down here up to Lake Tahoe without being on the shoulder of a very busy highway.
Let me say that when I do ride, and it's fairly early in the morning, I come across about 10 people in the 45 minutes that I jet down there from the top down to the bottom. And it is a both within the neighborhood and above the gate where the Forest Service access starts, where the forest land starts. A lot of elderly and young people use that because it's such a gentle roadway. Something else that I was concerned about in the article is there was this accusation that that road is not safe. It has potholes. It's curvy. However, there's not a lot of traffic on it. There are aspects of that roadway that make people slow down unless they're stupid or drunk. But you can't handle those people. But, the roadway is such that it's much slower. The other thing is, if let's say we use the interchange and the new road that goes down there, who's going to want to walk or ride their bikes up Highway 50 to get to that roadway to continue walking up the hill? That seems to me more dangerous, walking on Highway 50 when people are going 60, 70 miles up and down that roadway, than walking up and down Clear Creek Road. So those are some of my observations.
Thank you. Following up on Commissioner Mallory's statement, Howard, I think I gleaned from this article, and I'm assuming that Mike Arnold is one of the residents, they seem to be primarily concerned about liability. And in these conversations that I hope take place between the people who recreate on the road, because most recreationalists don't litter, they're respectful of other people's property, but I think that's going to be probably the principal concern they have is if somebody gets injured, who pays the bill? And so I just make that more as an editorial comment, that that's one issue that I think is going to have to be wrestled with by whoever comes to the table to discuss some sort of amiable arrangement.
Absolutely. And under NRS 405, there's some fairly clear paragraphs in there that talk about that, if they want it is indeed a private road in my estimations, although I'll be humble enough to know I am not an attorney or anything, and I certainly don't know all the aspects of the law, but there are other counties who have addressed this before. Matter of fact, this county addressed it when somebody put up a gate across Kings Canyon Road, and that was taken care of. Other counties have taken this on. Washoe County recently classified a lot of roads that have historic access and go across private property where they have declared them presumed public roadways, and that, you know, private roadways with public access, and that takes them out of the liability. I think the homeowners can't have it both ways. You know, do they want a private road or a public private road without liability, or public road with liability? They just can't have it both ways. But there are state laws already that protect, I think, homeowners and public agencies in regarding liability. Okay. But we can certainly work on that, and I'm willing to do anything I can.
All right, thank you. Yes, Larry, did you want to respond to that?
A little bit, yes. Exactly. Howard talked about NRS 405, and that's exactly what the Board of County Commissioners, the RTC, did on Kings Canyon, is they held a public hearing, and it's a provision under the law that you can declare it a public open road, and yet you declare also publicly that you're not going to maintain it. That's kind of the hearings we held several years ago here with on Clear Creek, and the issue was by the board to not declare it a public open road. So that step, I mean, it can always be revisited. There's no question about that, but that's kind of what occurred in the past to not get us into declaring that a public road. The other thing is, under state law, it's when roads that existed in 1845, if they existed and showed on the old BLM plats in 1845, they automatically became county roads. And at that point, that's where the jurisdiction could step in and say, okay, we can declare that an open and public road. This road did not exist in 1845. And that created a different situation too. So there's a few laws in there that they all kind of work together, but essentially in trying to look at what kind of role we had in this, the other thing we look at is who's paid the property tax on it. And obviously the homeowners have not had an exemption from this roadway. It's always been a part of their property tax. So looking at all those three things, we kind of, as staff, have looked at those, and we still came to the same conclusion, and the information by this RTC board, not this board, but the RTC and the Board of Supervisors, was not to declare it a public open roadway.
Okay, thank you, Larry, for that clarification. I think Commissioner Kroll was next. Bob?
Chaz or Howard, help me understand what you mean when you say 8 of the 12 maps provide for public access. I don't want to get too far down into the legal nuances, but what are you talking about there? And because usually when you do that, something on that map says what the access is, kind of defines its criteria. What are we talking about there? And I just want a thumbnail of what it.
Sure. The Chaz McCory again for the record. So the parcel maps call out, and I will read one since I can't remember very much these days. Clear Creek Road, Old Highway 50 West, is an 80-foot-wide public access drainage and utility easement, and the owner's certificate says that the streets, avenues, and public places shown hereon are dedicated and set apart to be public. So the 8 out of the 12 that I referred to have wording that is essentially the same as that. It recognizes that it's a private road, but it also grants public access over the road.
Okay. Thank you, Chaz. Commissioner Mallory.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to respond to Chaz and Howard again. I don't know if you're familiar with the history of the American River Bike Trail in Sacramento, but one of the things that you guys can do with the homeowners in this situation is point to that, because when that trail was being debated in Sacramento among the city council and all the people that were interested in looking into building this trail, one of the objections was, well, we don't want this trail in our backyard because there'll be undesirable people, there'll be prostitutes and homeless people and drug users and all the rest of the stuff that we don't want in our area. And what's actually happened over the last 35 or 40 years the trail's been opened, none of that has occurred, and what's actually happened is it's become a source of pride for the entire Sacramento area, and the trail has been held up as an example of what a community can do in recreational trails. It's been highly accepted by the community and highly accepted by the recreational people. So I hope if you do go to the homeowners and this does get revisited, that point to examples like that, that the trail is not a liability and it's not a negative. It can be a positive, and it can be a very great positive, something that the community can be proud of.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments by members of the commission? Any other comments by members of the audience? I don't suppose we have anybody from the Homeowners Association, Clear Creek LLC, here this evening? Or the Washoe Tribe? Evidently not. I'll bring it back to the board. You know, I would prefer, my personal opinion is I would prefer not to invoke NRS 405. That's very provocative. And I would prefer that perhaps Carson City, a member of staff, act to help facilitate meetings between the recreationalists and the members of the Clear Creek LLC to see if we could find some common ground. I think Chaz McCrory has some fairly compelling evidence that maybe there is, at least on 8 of these 12 parcels, there is a reserved public access easement. But I think that if reasonable people can disagree, but I think that it always is beneficial when they sit down across from one another and speak with each other in earnest. So that would be my recommendation, is not for this board to take any formal action, but to direct staff to help facilitate meetings between at least these two gentlemen that appeared before us this evening and anybody else who has a compelling interest in this issue, to sit down with members of the Homeowners Association or the LLC and see if they can reach some sort of accommodation. Well, Jim, if you'd like to participate in those meetings, that would be wonderful. I'm sure that both Howard and Chaz would appreciate your input. Does everybody concur?
Yes.
To give staff that direction? Yes. Okay. All right. This is information only, so that's all we can do is to give you direction. So,
Madam Chair, I want to thank you for that, and Chaz and Howard and Jim, of course, on your participation this evening. It's what I hope for. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate you coming. Thank you, staff, for educating us on this issue. Okay, moving on to item F6. Patrick, are you handling this? Kim.
I'm just going to mention the errata sheet that you all have in front of you.
Thank you.
Kim Belt, Carson City Public Works. Good evening, Madam Chair, Commissioners. This staff report is for commission action on, staff is asking the commission to approve an agreement with the Genevieve Felicina Family Trust and Carson City for the granting of real property, which consists of 39,559 square feet of parcel and a 7,200 square foot retail warehouse building. This project is being acquired to construct the roadway improvements for the widening of Curry Street. The fiscal impact of this is approximately $175,000.
As members of the commission, yes, go ahead.
I should say that it's a lot of money, obviously. And I mean, when we originally started looking at this property, we were only going to take the small amount of property we needed for the project. But obviously, we couldn't come to terms with the owners on that. They only wanted to sell the entire property. So and we felt comfortable now that we have negotiated this price, that it's a reasonable price. Our intent is to bring back to this board this property along with a number of properties on the Stewart Street project. And declare them surplus so that we can go through and sell these properties rather quickly and recover a lot of cash that we have obviously spent on these different properties we've been buying. And we need to do that in order to improve our cash flow. We do have a cash flow problem that's coming up in the next year. We are in the process working with our finance and our financial advisors to start a new bond issue. That was something we've always planned to do when we adopted the RTC TIP back in November. We anticipated we were going to run into some cash flow problems with projects and we would have to do another bond issue. This just heightens that issue a little bit more and brings it a little earlier than we would have otherwise done. But we do certainly intend to go forward and resell some of the properties. There's three or four properties on Stewart Street, right, and then this property I think that's about it that we're looking at this point, to recover some of the cash that we have outstanding out there right now.
Well, this was obviously to avoid an eminent domain action because the property, the right-of-way at least, is critical to the completion of this project. As I recall, we were, the estimated cost of the right-of-way acquisition was about $325,000, wasn't it? $325,000. I think that's what's in your report, Darren. Was it less than that? Obviously, you know, it is a lot of money. On the other hand, our inability to negotiate an agreement with a property owner has compelled us to look at this as an alternative.
Another issue, the next item is the actual award of an amendment that we had bid when we did the original project. As you remember, the bids on Carson or Curry Street, along with this amendment, are some of the best bids we've seen of late. And as a result, putting off the construction of this, we think will actually cost more in the long run. So there may be some advantages of moving forward with it now because we're taking advantage of the low bidding climate that we found ourselves in the last year. We expect that bidding climate is going to start rising in the next year as you start to see a lot more projects come forward with federal funding.
Okay, Andy, thank you. Kim, thank you. Any questions or comments by members of the commission on this issue? As was pointed out, there is an errata sheet here. And going forward, I guess one of these templates kind of slipped past us. Going forward with these similar acquisitions of right-of-way, obviously we don't want to include a provision that excludes the use of this property that we're acquiring for travel. That's the objective. Right. That's the objective of acquiring the property. So that's the one amendment to the document that I'd like the maker of the motion to note.
I'd like to mention also that we've contacted the trust representative and they are agreeable to the change.
Okay, terrific. Thank you, Kim. Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you suppose that if we cut our little slices of cheese that we needed originally off of this piece of property, that we would be able to then in turn sell the property and the building for close to this $875,000?
That's certainly what we would anticipate, yes. The process we have to go through to sell a piece of property, we have to actually have two appraisals, and then we go through an auction as a process for sale. So that'll be the method that we go forward. Kim is already starting the process to move forward with the appraisals.
That's correct.
Okay, and I'm assuming since the building is vacant.
Yes, it is.
That the income approach was not used in determining its value, right?
Okay. No.
So it was replacement and or comps.
Right.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any other questions by members of the commission? Any questions by members of the audience? Seeing none, let somebody care to make a motion. Is anyone still awake?
Probably awake.
Dozing off.
You want me to do it?
Certainly.
Let's see, where is it? Where am I here?
The F6.
What did I do with F6 here? I have it right here. Right here. I move to approve and authorize the chair to sign an agreement between the Genevieve Felicy and the Family Trust pursuant to the trust agreement dated September 24th, 1991 in Carson City, whereby the Genevieve Felicy and the Family Trust pursuant to the trust agreement dated September 24th, 1991 agrees to sell and convey all of certain real property described as assessor's parcel number 09-051-03 for the purpose of roadway construction related to the Curry Street Widening Project and to accept a deed with the criteria that the chair outlined that it's also set forth in the errata sheet that we were given tonight.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item F7. F7. Patrick, are you handling that? Darren.
Thank you. Item F7 is to award a change order to the contract to A&K Earth Movers to do the portion of work now that we have acquired this property that you just acquired. We put this in part of our bid schedule in anticipation of being able to negotiate, and since we're there today, we'd like to let the contractor know that he can go ahead and complete this portion of the project and, in fact, finish this Curry Street widening moving forward.
Okay. Any comments by members of the commission on the proposed acquisition or on the proposed contract with A&K Earth Movers? It's an amendment to an existing contract. I just, out of curiosity, I noted in the staff summary that the RTC took action on the primary contract in April, but it says under required approval that the compensation was authorized, it was awarded, the contract was awarded on February 16th. Was it conditionally awarded until RTC approval? Is that the correct date, February 16th?
February 16th is not the correct date. Yeah. It was the later date.
Okay, so it would be the date that appears in the staff summary, which would be April 24th, 2009?
Yes.
Okay. 24, 2009. Okay, so would the maker of the motion just include that amendment? Any further comment by members of the commission? Any comments by members of the audience? Which has dwindled significantly. All right, I'll bring it back to the commission. Would somebody care to make a motion? Russ.
As amended, I move to accept Public Works' recommendation to approve Amendment Number 1 to Contract Number 0809-206 with A&K Earth Movers, Inc., South Curry Street Phase 1 Improvements, to expand the scope of work and increase the contract in an amount not to exceed $282,949.05 from the Curry Phase 2 Reconstruction Expand Fund, Water Fund, Sewer Fund, and Stormwater Fund as provided for in fiscal year 2008-2009.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Okay, moving right along. Item F8.
I'll take this one. The original contract was funded almost entirely with federal community development block grant funds to repair sidewalks in and around the Empire School area. It has gone extremely well, but as we've gone through this, we have encountered some things that have required a little bit more money and have encountered some additional aspects, a driveway and here and there, and that did not meet ADA requirements. And the proposed increase in the amendment that would be RTC funds is already included in the RTC TIP for the citywide ADA sidewalk improvement program.
Okay, and so why weren't these improvements included in the original contract? Just an oversight?
Yes, just an oversight in getting into the field and then realizing that as you rip out one part, you don't want to leave something bad in the middle of two good things.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Patrick. Any comments or questions by members of the commission? Any comments or questions by members of the audience? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. Would somebody care to make a motion?
I move to approve Amendment Number 1 to Contract Number 0809-235-2009-ADA Sidewalk Improvement Program Phase 2 for an amount not to exceed $30,001. The RTC Pedestrian Improvement Citywide account is provided in the FY 2008-2009.
Go ahead, Vaughn.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Item F9. Darren?
Thank you. Item F9 is to make an award to A&A Construction to perform the construction of Old Clear Creek Road frontage improvements. This is the frontage on the south side there by Costco. It's been in works for a while. We've been waiting for Douglas County to get out of our way with their force main that they're putting in there, and they are or will be by the time we get out there. So that's what this has been waiting on, but we also want to get it done this construction season. We received very good bids once again. And we ask them to move forward with A&A Construction.
Okay, and am I correct in assuming that $71,600 is going to be applied against the cost of this project from grant funding? Isn't there some grant funding involved in this?
Yes, there is.
And it's much less than the budget, which is nice.
Yes. Yes, it is. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yes.
And the engineer's estimate. Okay. Okay, good. So we have some grant funding to help offset the cost of these improvements, which I think are needed to complete the project at Fuji Park. Any questions or comments by the commission? Any questions or comments by members of the audience? I did have one clerical change. And first of all, I want to thank staff. I did meet with Kim and I met with Joel to talk about some language changes that just raises the bar a little bit with respect to the performance of our contractors, in that they can no longer persistently disregard laws and ordinances and rules and regulations. They have to abide by those rules and regulations, by golly, because they're the most responsive, theoretically, and responsible bidders. I did have one question. I did call Sandy Scott. Maybe she's on vacation. Under compensation, we just have a clerical change. You'll see that the written amount is correct, but it should read $298,604.78 to be consistent with what's contained in the motion, which I'm assuming the recommended board action is correct. Okay. All right. Would anyone care to make? If I ask for public comment on this, I probably. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission.
Ready?
Yes, please,
okay.
Bob.
I move to determine that A&A Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 0809-2510 Oak Creek Road Frontage Improvements Project to A&A Construction, Inc. for a bid amount of $298,604.78 plus a contingency amount not to exceed $29,000 be funded from the Old Clear Creek Road Frontage Improvements Fund as provided in FY 2009-2010.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Item F10.
This item is to award a contract to Intermountain Slurry Seal, Inc. as the lowest responsive bidder to perform micropaving. I've returned this map in front of you just for your reference. Previously, we had talked about the orange lines and the green lines as micro-surfacing projects that will be funded in whole or in part with federal stimulus funds. The blue lines on there, primarily on the northwest side of the city, but there are three other portions as well. Those are the ones that we have, that staff has recommended that we do this construction season with city funds. And we'll note that the most likely is in the northwest side because that's where our annual slurry seal program is going on this year. And the roads that are being done are the primary routes through that neighborhood that justify the micropaving, which is a greater improvement than that which the other roads are getting, which is a slurry seal.
Okay, need to maintain those roads. All right, any comments or questions by members of the commission? Any comments or questions by members of the audience?
I've got.
Even your, never mind. Go ahead.
This is not an advertising question.
Okay. Can we advertise on the back of a slurry seal machine?
It's in the contract.
I'm going to guess that you considered the intersection of Baker and Colorado Street in this project.
That a separate contract, less than $25,000, and will not go before this board, is scheduled to be awarded later this month, completely separately, for the reconstruction of the south portion of that intersection.
You're brilliant.
With the installation of a new drain inlet that will prevent it from happening in the future.
Which goes slightly beyond what we're doing here, which is micropaving, right? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Patrick. All right. Would somebody care to make a motion?
I'll do it.
Okay. Charles.
I move to determine that Intermountain Slurry Seal, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 0910-056. 2009 microservice project to Intermountain Slurry Seal, Inc. for a bid of $243,040.50 plus a contingency amount not to exceed $24,000 to be funded from the Street Overlays Fund 256-3038-431-0468 as provided in fiscal year 2009-2010, fiscal impact not to exceed $267,000, $267,040.50.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. F11. We have pulled F11. Okay. Well, you know, I know we pulled it, but...
Oh, you want to dig in there. Make just a clerical correction?
I do make a... Well, I can't help myself. I'm sorry. Patrick, do you have it in front of you? Okay. On page 2, explanation of fiscal impact, we just transposed a couple of numbers. I think the contract amount, well, it's indicated above, is $258,568 as opposed to $658. If you look on page 2, explanation of impact, you look at the fiscal amount, it doesn't match the impact amount. So if you could just, it's just a transposition of numbers. Do you see that?
$90.
Okay. And then, under consideration on page 4 of the contract, that's paragraph 5.1, it should read a not to exceed amount of $234,568 and no cents. We just have the same. In this case, the transposition occurs in the numerical amount as well.
Probably should mention that we're not positive we're going to bring this particular contract back.
After all that?
Well, it'll be similar. We're having some discussions with the selected consultant whether they can accept our insurance requirements or not.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately, this is the second consultant that we've had. The first consultant went in the Chapter 13. This is the second consultant. We may end up going to the third consultant, but we'll determine that here in the next few weeks.
Don't we have a contract with Winston to do some work in connection with the Gateway projects? So we're having the same insurance issue on the Gateway project?
Yes.
Grand. Okay. Yes,
we also
Derek?
Have a contract, current contract with Winston that they signed agreeing to our language, but...
They can't perform.
Well, they don't. That was a mistake. They shouldn't have signed that, so they don't want to sign this one is what they're saying.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right, I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, well, that brings us to the end of our agenda, almost. We have a report, item G1, Patrick.
Just happy to report good news, the ridership is up, and just point out that if you look at Jack monthly ridership, months go up and down, but the general trend is very positive. And even if you took the 3,900 seniors that got on without paying a fare in July, you'd still have more people than we had in July of 2007.
But we're still getting reimbursed for those fares, above and beyond the cost of the fare.
Yes, okay. Ma'am.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments or questions for Patrick on this issue?
Congratulations.
Okay. Moving on to item G2, Street Operations Report. Any comments or questions by members of the commission? Any comments or questions by members of the audience? Sabrina? Dave? Okay.
She reads my stuff.
All right, we'll move on then to item G3, Project Status Report. Any comments or questions by members of the commission on the status report? I had one, Darren, on Eagle Station, the Eagle Station US 395 traffic signal. Should it be amended under project description to reflect the fact that NDOT has accepted the warrant study? I assume they have, haven't they? Because we're... Yeah. Okay. And we're still proceeding sometime in October, is that?
We are.
Great. Great. Any other comments or questions on the report?
How did you learn that?
Learn what?
That they accepted the warrant study.
You know, I'm in the know.
You were one of those people.
One of those people. One of those intolerable people. Okay. Moving on to item G4, banners on Fairview Drive. Patrick.
Yes, this is once again just an informational item, and there's only one attachment. There are actually, as mentioned, I believe here, they're actually being considered five different types of banners to be hung. As you may recall, on Fairview Drive, the project included more decorative light poles that include the ability to hang banners. And we're working with the Office of Business Development to get those banners designed and prepared and obviously eventually installed.
Yeah, we're hoping to have them installed before the freeway opens at this point. That's the goal. So we'll see if we can get it done.
And so the objective is to make it apparent to people that this is, at least for the time being, is the way you exit off the freeway onto South Carson
Into downtown, yeah.
Okay. And that's why the Office of Business Development is involved. Is that the funding source? Or who's paying for
these
banners?
We're paying for them as part of the project. It was approved as part of the project. It's about, what, $4,000, I
okay.
think?
And they're just assisting with design. All right. Thank you. Charles.
I just wanted to ask Patrick, the other day in driving on Fairview, I note there's landscaping not completed on the south side. That is just to the east of the intersection of Fairview and Roop. It almost looks like that landscaping's been, or potential, has been abandoned. What is the status of that? It really looks out of place with the rest of the work that's been done.
It does. Our contractor out there is a very small contractor, and he's doing it slowly. But that is part of his work. He started it. It's fenced off. It will be completed as part of the contract.
Good. Does he work for the Ormsby House?
He works for Phase 2B with NDOT.
Pattern of behavior here.
Okay.
Thank you. Item G5, future agenda items.
There will be many, I'm sure, but one I want to mention is the truck restrictions on Carson Street. Mm-hmm. There has been progress. Mr. Lawson has prepared a draft letter that for Director Martinovich's signature, and it is under review at the director's office, and we hope to bring that back to you for your information and action if necessary.
Is this the safety analysis that he alluded to in the last
meeting? He's required to provide a lot of different types of data, including safety.
Okay. A couple of other items. We had talked about there. I've been receiving some correspondence about the necessity of having that storage lane on Roop Street between Washington and Beverly, because it eliminates the continuity of the bike path. And I know there's a rational reason for it, capacity being one. But, we may want to bring that back as an informational item only at some point so they can explain the rationale behind adding that stacking lane on Roop. The bridge construction at Koontz and Clearview, the impact on east-west access, we kind of touched on that lightly, but we may want to revisit that. To give people some assurance that there are going to be alternate routes that they can take when those bridges are under construction. I know they're being constructed. They're not being constructed simultaneously.
There's a public meeting conducted by NDOT. Is that next week?
That's on August 19th.
And that there will be some discussions about all the closures and that kind of thing there, too. So that will be another place for the public to
be able to take a look at. Just for if anybody's listening. That's Wednesday, August 19th, 4 p.m. at the Carson City Fairgrounds in the Exhibit Hall. Okay. All right. Any other comments by members of the commission? Any future agenda items you'd like to have agendized? Okay. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. All those in favor, second.
Aye.
All right.
Good meeting,
Chairman.
We're
done. Thank
Good
you.
Meeting.
Thanks for putting that on the agenda.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, Russ, that's special. I suspect if somebody had some money and wanted to go.